Hey, friends. Thank you for taking 30 seconds out of listening to our good friends, Isaac and Angie Tolpin. Hi, my name is Aaron Smith, and I, along with my wife, Jennifer, host a weekly podcast called Marriage After God. After you're done being encouraged by our dear friends at Courageous Parenting, we'd love to invite you to check out the Marriage After God podcast, where our desire is to encourage you to grow closer to God and your spouse by sharing with you what God is teaching us in our marriage and by digging deep into God's word. We share intimately and transparently, and we love to go deep into scripture. Thank you again for letting us have a few moments with you. Now, please enjoy the rest of Courageous Parenting podcast, and don't forget to check out the Marriage After God podcast when you're done.
Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And I'm Isaac from Resolute Man.
We've been married for 21 years and have seen the fruit from raising our 8 kids biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children. Too many children from Christian families are walking away from their faith by age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way. Join us as we start an important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
Angie, you're so beautiful.
Thanks,
I just wanted to make you laugh right in the beginning. Anyways, I just appreciate my wife so much. Today, we're talking about cultivating proactive learning in your home. And it's just been so fun to do this together as a team in the last few years. It's just been incredible for our marriage, hasn't it?
It has. And it's been good for the kids, too, especially as of late since they've been participating in producing some podcasts.
Yeah, that's been such a good experience for them. Kids episodes on Fridays. So that's been pretty cool. So, hey, we have a couple updates. There are some new things coming that are really exciting. Now, the good of Courageous Parenting, Courageous Mom, Resolute Man is all still remaining, meaning the Parenting Mentor Program, the Homeschool Blueprint, all these things. Mm-hmm. But there's some really new, exciting things coming that we just want your prayer for encourage us on. We're trying to get feedback. So if you hit the survey in our Instagram bios, that would be great to answer some questions. You can also get a behind the scenes look at what we're up to. We may or may not do all of those things in there, but we're getting your feedback and it's helping us make decisions. We've already made some decisions based on that feedback because together we impact 1 million families and their legacies. It's a movement we're doing together.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, every time you share and all that stuff, it really helps the movement too. But I want to dive into this. This topic makes a massive difference in parenting, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, a lot of people might hear the title Cultivating Proactive Learning in Your Home and think, oh, is this just for homeschoolers? And I just have to say something, you guys, regardless of if you are teaching your kids academically at home or not, you are a teacher in their life. They should be learning things from you. All of life is learning. And don't we all want to see our homes a place where learning is cultivated, where our kids understand that life is a process of learning? They see it modeled. And they're encouraged to have a teachable heart.
It's so true.
This podcast will help you if you are homeschooling big time, because I know that a lot of parents do struggle with their kids having a teachable heart or even having the desire to learn things. So obviously, if you're homeschooling, you're going to like want to get your journal and take notes. But this is something that I think every home, regardless of if they're doing academics at home, needs to listen to.
And regardless if you're homeschooling now, we all need to be equipped for that possibility based on the pressures and decisions made by the world governments, the world and governments around us. So that's really important. So this is a huge difference maker. Have you ever looked at somebody or maybe you admire them and wow, they seem to be able to figure anything out. They seem to be able to always find the answer. They don't occupy all the answers in their head necessarily, but if they're given a problem, they can figure out how to solve it and they can figure out how to look up things and discover things. And they really are delighting in learning for the purpose of helping people or building something or doing something or writing something. So that is what can happen to all of your kids, despite how they're wired. Some kids are wired more academically and some are more doers in this world and action oriented and things like that. And there's all in between. And that's a very general concept. But here's the thing. Don't we want all of our kids to be proactive learners? In today's uncertain times, I think it's required.
Right. I mean, you and I have even and this was way before things were the way they are now. I mean, when we first got married, you guys have heard me share my personal testimony of growing into becoming a homemaker and a stay-at-home mom that is really embracing the roles and jurisdictions and just needs of my family. Like, for example, being the doctor. Like, I view myself as Dr. Mom. Like, I'm the first responder on the job. When there is a scraped knee, when there's a head bonk, when there's a cold, when there's whatever it is, like I am the first responder. And so I need to not only be prepared like emotionally and how to be calm and how to take care of things and to lead my children in being calm and confident, but I also needed to learn. Like I needed to go and invest in getting books and learning these different things, whether it was using herbal tinctures, using teas, oils, whatever it was. It wasn't like I just knew how to use those things. And so really, you guys, like we've been married 22 years. I have not always loved learning. Have you always loved learning?
No, I would say not.
No, but I would say that when we got married and things became real personal, real fast. Yeah. I realized I have a lot of things that I want to learn. I want to learn how to cook. So I bought cookbooks. I wanted to learn how to garden a few years after we got married. So I bought books on how to garden.
I would say it started for me when I was 19, but up until then it was very much not. I wanted to, I desired to, but I didn't really know how to apply myself.
Right. And I mean, we both went to college. And so like for me, I chose a major that I was very interested in. So I liked learning. But then when you get into school and they have you reading all these extra things that maybe you don't necessarily like, then once I was outside of that, that was actually where my love for learning started to thrive, when I realized I can learn whatever I'm interested in. Yeah. And that is what we're talking about today. Yes. Regarding how to cultivate proactive learning in your home. So it starts with you. That's why I wanted to share part of my testimony, because I want to ask you a question. Do you love learning? And here's the second question. Do your kids see you have a teachable heart? Do your kids see that you love learning?
I love it when kids ask me a question I don't know and we just look it up together.
We did that this morning.
Demonstrates the love of learning. Yeah, I really couldn't think in my head. I was reading scripture to the family and I literally came across a word. It was the only word I didn't quite understand how to define. Because when you have little kids in front of you, tip at the table with the Bible, you got to define words. And meekness. Mm-hmm. And I go, I really don't understand that word.
Like, understand it. You could give a few words that maybe are synonyms of
you
it.
You guys might be like laughing at me. You don't know what meekness means? Well, describe it right now. You know, maybe you can. Maybe you're smarter than me. You probably are. But anyways, we look it up and then we discussed it together. I go, oh, I love meekness. Oh, that's gentleness.
We need to work on that.
That's so important. And it came right after the word humility, and the Bible is perfect in word order. So it was that's a reason for that.
It was a super encouraging passage of scripture. But anyway, I mean, just that example of being aware that your kids don't always know the things that you know, and to slow it down and ask them and go, hey, who can give me the definition of meekness? Who can give me the definition of humility? Who can give me, like, who can describe what this word means to the younger siblings? And then sometimes you find out that even the older kids, they may know what the word means in relation to like how to act it out or how to be a certain way, but they may not be able to articulate or communicate with other people in a way that describes what that word means. And so this is a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? Like, how do you teach kids and cultivate a proactive learning environment in your home? And one way is by being humble and meek in your own self in regards to learning in your home. So, for example, being at the table, what if Isaac just read through that scripture going, I kind of know, I understand what meekness is, but I'm just going to bulldoze through this. I'm not going to slow down for all the other people here at the table. We're going to get through this scripture. Instead, being conscientious of the learners at our table and being introspective and going, in this moment, I don't know if I can fully define it. Hey, guys, do you guys know? hey, okay, let's, and then mom's sitting there as the sidekick, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like looking it up so that I can actually like make sure we're teaching exactly what it means. And then we end up having this great discussion about it.
Absolutely.
And so that is a perfect example of one way that you can not only show kids by modeling a humility, because you can't like learn things unless you have a humility to understand that you need to learn something new.
So there's that
model, but then you're also showing them one way to learn something by looking something up in the dictionary or whatever.
We've already talked about so much, but we have 5 points for you guys. So number one is consistent encouragement. Mm-hmm. This is how you create proactive learners in your home that launch from your home, continuing loving learning and being proactive about it on their own initiative. Mm-hmm. And it's so important these days. And so it really takes consistent encouragement. You might think you're encouraging because you've encouraged them, but it really takes consistent. You have to check out the last episode about consistency, mm-hmm. but it really takes consistent over and over and over again encouragement.
You know, it's interesting. The last podcast, we talked a lot about consistency in parenting in regards to like teaching your kids to be disciplined in how they live, but also in being obedient and expectations you have as parents. But we also did mention that it's in regards to all things in relationships, like being consistent into pouring into relationships, being consistent as an encourager. And regarding cultivating a proactive learning environment, if you don't have consistency, you will not have a proactive learning environment. What you will have is sporadic spurts of a learning environment. And so if you want to actually have a proactive learning environment, it cannot exist without consistency. And so in regards to encouragement, here's an example. Maybe you've encouraged your kids in how good they are at spelling. Maybe you've done it a handful of times. Well, have you sat down on a regular basis and said, hey, you're really good at learning? And brought that specific encouragement to them in regards to many different categories of life, not just spelling. Are you looking for the encouragements that you can bring up? Like, for example, our daughter right now is in the house baking a cake because it's dad's birthday.
Yay.
And she wanted to make him a cake. And I just was in there and I saw her doing her magic. And I took a moment while I was grabbing this water to say, hey, you're really good at this. And I knew that she needed it because she's really good at cooking and things like that, but she doesn't bake as often. Mm-hmm. Really, our oldest daughter was more of the baker, wanted to be baking all the time. And it was interesting because her response was like, oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she kind of like perked up a little bit. And so, I think that we all need encouragement at times. And even if we tell people that they're good at certain things, we still need to hear it, right? Like our kids still need to hear encouragement. So when they're little, one of the best ways to get your kids to be consistent in doing their chores, for example, is to encourage them. Well, if you want to have a proactive learning environment, you need to encourage them when they're learning things. When you're sitting and teaching them phonics, you want to be encouraging them and say, you're really good at remembering your letters. Mm. You're really good at remembering your numbers. Mm. You're really good at, and isn't that fun? Oh, wow, you remembered that blend or that digraph? Good job.
Yeah, Solomon today told me, Dad, I can write my name. And I'm like, you can? You've got to show me right now. And he's like, okay. And he goes over and he gets his, and he's kind of scrambling because I was so excited and he's trying to find out where it is.
Yeah, he was like, oh man.
And he goes, and then he, oh yeah, here's my workbook. And he opened it up and sure enough, it has the lines, you know, for little kids. And it said Solomon, just real nice. And I'm like, whoa, that's so big. You're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just beaming.
That's right. And so we need to remember that like our encouragement has more power than we realize, right? Because then Solomon kept practicing his name. What you don't know is that he kept writing it over and over and over again, which is what you want to do. And so encouragement is the most, I would say probably the most important of all the things that we're talking about today, just because kids get, you know, they get those lies in their head that they're not good at things just like we do. And so we need to be encouraging, but we also need to remind our other kids to encourage one another, because we can't always be there to do it.
And sometimes as adults, when a kid says something, it seems so small to us, or it can. And we have to remember that what's small to you is huge to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a different place than you are. Your whole capacity and experience in life is completely different. If you were in their shoes, you would be blown away excited that you wrote your name. But to you, that's so trivial. Or it could be. It could be if you allow your selfishness to set in and your agenda to get in the way. I mean, sometimes we need to slow down.
And remember,
where they're at.
Yeah.
So we give the appropriate encouragement.
You know, the last thing in regards to encouragement that I really want to exhort you with as a parent is another question. Do you believe that your child can blank? When I put a blank, you just put whatever dream your kid has there. Do you believe Johnny can be a top basketball player? Do you believe Susie can learn to sew or knit when she's 6 or 7? Do you believe that Amanda can bake muffins with you and do a really good job? Do you believe that your kid can do their chores without you having to do it with them?
By the way, I just have to share this. It's such a good point, Angie, because in the news today, a 19-year-old just got voted into the school board of the school he just graduated from a year prior because he was so infuriated how the school board allowed COVID to destroy his academics in his school experience. And I just was like, this is so cool. That kid believes he can do things. His parents must have encouraged him consistently.
Yeah. And believe that he is capable of doing that and having impact. I think it's powerful. So remember that. Like, remember with, and this is with every kid. I don't think that it matters if they're young or old more so, but with your older kids, especially, like, they need to know that you believe in them. Like, even just doing the podcast with the kids, right? Like, some kids are more natural at doing it than others. And so for the ones that really don't believe that they can do it or do a good job or whatever, you have to believe in them. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to pump them up. You have to remind them of who they are and that they're good at the thing that God put on their heart. And so that I just think that with each person, we need to remember that, you know, we all struggle with believing in ourselves, and it's not even believing in ourselves. It's believing in God in us, that we could make impact, that we could be successful, that we could accomplish the thing that we want to accomplish. And I think that kids need vision. They need ideas sometimes. Like, if our kids ever say I'm bored, they know that they're going to get a job of some kind. But it's not just about jobs, right? Like, I remember there was a season where I felt like Ethan was not saying I'm bored, because he didn't want me to be piling on chores, but I could tell he needed something more productive and something that he'd be proud to learn to do. And then Isaac encouraged him to be doing more woodworking type stuff. And so he started, like, building his little sailboat thing that he then was floating down the river. And now he's, like, learning how to make other things and whittle other things with wood. My point is that, like, we have to believe in our kids and then teach them some basic skills so that they're doing things safe, right? Like, he had to learn how to use a pocket knife or whatever. And now he's just having so much fun with building different things.
All right. Our second point is we've got to model it. And to lead off, I think we have a scripture.
Right. So we actually had 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So I love this scripture. It was in regards to what we were just talking about regarding encouragement. And I think that it's important that we are remembering that this applies to family first. Like, everything applies to our first jurisdictions first, but it says, just as you are doing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when we're reading through scripture, we can get encouraged by the first part, which says, encourage one another and build one another up, and you go, oh yeah, that's really good. But the rest of the sentence is just as you are doing, which is an assumption that you're doing it already. And so we should always be encouraging one another. So the next point that we're going to talk about is modeling it. This is super important. Obviously, like, you guys, if we have a teachable heart, if we are modeling for our kids what it looks like to learn new things,
yeah,
they're going to be much more open and have a softer heart attitude towards learning, right?
Yeah.
If we come across as callous and we know it all and we don't ever need help, and which is really just prideful, then guess what our kids are most likely going to be?
Yeah.
They need to see what learning looks like. And so if this is one of the best ways to cultivate, I mean, if you're talking about cultivating a proactive learning environment, if your kids see you reading the Bible, guess what you're going to potentially see them doing when they're older, right? If your kids see you pulling out gardening books and learning new things and talking to them about it and going, oh, I just don't know. Last year's garden didn't really work as well. So I'm looking to see if we need to like do a crop rotation so we can get more nitrogen in the soil. And they start going, oh, whoa, what? And you're like, yeah, it just didn't work as well as it would have. And I'm learning about this. Imagine your kids going, oh, mom's still learning something. She's got a book out.
Yeah, a lot of people, even the smartest people, the people that are active learners and they're older in life, you often hear them saying things like, the more I learn, the more I realize there is to learn.
Yeah.
Or the more I realize I don't know. There's all these quotes out there of these really intellectual people. And I think that our energy gets diffused when we're not learning too.
Mm-hmm.
I've just seeing people go through the Parenting Mentor Program has been extraordinary, how God is using that to stir up in people ideas and a fresh look at their parenting and a realization of, you know, where to prune some things and where to add some things.
And to realize that they're not doing it alone and to keep on keeping on.
And get
right?
that encouragement too, because we need encouragement. Mm-hmm. So in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So do you want your kids to be like you in terms of learning?
Right. So if you want them to be learners for life, then you need to be one. That's the real kicker. Number three is, I love this one, you guys. It's honor their interests.
Oh,
and what we mean by this is you actually have to stop for a second and study your child.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what they're interested in. Take interest in what your kids want to learn. And realize that, hey, maybe something that they're really interested in is something that they can't do without you. And so maybe that's going to take a little bit of sacrifice on your part as a parent, where you're going to have to say no to something else that maybe you wanted to do for a short season so that you can say yes to committing to learning this new thing with your kid.
Yeah.
And I would say that's more true for when the kids are younger. When the kids are older, it might also be true too, depending on what it is that they want to learn. But I will tell you, some of my best memories are of our older kids, when I look back over their childhood, are saying no to doing certain things so that we could say yes to really diving in and learning something. I remember when Kelsey was really getting into sewing, and I didn't know how to sew. So I'm bringing this up because many of you might go, well, my kid wants to do sewing or canning or wants to do something, and I have no idea how to do it. Well, okay, so I didn't know how to sew, but my daughter wanted to learn how to. So I went to Joann Fabrics with her, and we asked some questions of the ladies that were working there, and we got a couple books to teach us, and we invited my mom to come over and to show us a few things. And then when Isaac's mom was over, she showed us how to quilt because she knows how to quilt.
That's cool.
And then Kelsey was able to work on a project for herself. And then eventually, between those two lessons that she had, one with each grandma, and then having these books that taught her step by step how to make little wallets, she started making little wallets, and then she started selling them for like $11 each. But I didn't know how to do that. And so two encouragements with that. You have to be humble enough to not say no to the things that you don't know how to do.
Amen.
And only yes to the things you do know how to do. The second encouragement with that is you don't always have to be the expert. You can ask other people into your life to help you teach those things you don't know.
Hence the beauty of creating proactive learners. If you initiate these principles when they're young, when they're older, they actually sometimes don't even need a person. There's YouTube videos, there's resources. There's sometimes they just need you pointing them to resources, right, and coaching them. You can, I do this all the time in the business side of me, is coaching people to do extraordinary things I've never done before. It's because you can coach them and point them to the expertise. Another point to what Angie was talking about, I want, especially on the husband side, the father side, is make sure you don't only point them in directions of your passions when you were their age. Like, okay, I played football and I did this, and so my kids are going to follow the same blueprint. But you know what? They're probably going to be really good at it because they have your DNA and you're going to really coach them. You have the expertise. But just because someone's good at something doesn't mean that's the best option for them.
Yeah.
And so we have to watch that. And they're going to do things that they get accolades and from us and encouragement from us in. So I think one of the challenges and blessings for my being a dad is I didn't grow up with that many interests, frankly, and that many skills and expertises. Okay. So while that was at one point, I was wondering when we had our first kid, and I was kind of thankful it was a daughter first because I thought there was all these obligations on training a son since I'm the dad. And I'm like, oh, Angie's got lots of skills and expertise. It's a daughter. So that'll be, I have a little more time.
What's so funny about this is we have seven sons now.
and then I realized, well, I'm going to be the dad that learns with them. And I'm going to figure out with Angie what they love to do and figure it out. And we continuously do that.
We have some funny stories of things that our kids did. I remember when Kelsey was into ice skating. That was a 3 or 4 year thing. Neither of us knew how to ice skate, but she had ice skating lessons. There's all kinds of things that you do as a parent, right? But you guys, honoring their interests, there being the key phrase there, because if you want your kids to really love learning, especially when they're young, letting them do something that they're interested in is just going to encourage them to keep learning other things.
All right.
So number four.
We got how to do it. Okay, this is some practical stuff here. So what are
your thoughts? Actually mentioned that YouTube videos is one way that kids can learn. And I just want to put that out there that, yeah, but especially when kids are younger, you definitely, and when your kids are older and still in your home, you still want to be involved in that process. Mm-hmm. I would never allow my kid when they are young to just have free access of the internet and YouTube.
Even limited when they're older.
Guided. And so that is just a warning out there. And so I would recommend that on the how to do it, if you don't know how to do it and you don't, and it's like an immediate thing, like you're trying to figure something out for right then, right in the moment. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can use the internet as a great resource, but you need to really like step away for a moment to look, to find the thing and then bring it to your kids so that you know that there's no cussing in it. There's no weird commercials. Because sometimes YouTube has some weird ads and things.
Well, they have things based on what you look at as a parent. So just be careful of what you ever look at with your YouTube account if you're going to use that with your kids.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we've had a lot of parents over the last couple of years go through the Parenting Mentor Program who honestly, like a lot of them have said, hey, my kid accidentally saw this at a grandparent's house when they were watching a YouTube video.
Yeah,
I can't even tell you the key being grandparents' house, YouTube. No, I mean, I think that the older generation is not as savvy with technology and maybe kind of unaware and far removed from the younger years and far removed from protecting your kids' innocence. And numb
about commercials.
And so, yeah. So I'm not saying that as a blanket statement. I'm just saying it as a warning for you to evaluate if that's a situation to kind of put some boundaries around that. Okay. But yes, you can use the internet as a tool for sure regarding how to do it. The second thing would be mentors. Like I mentioned, the grandparents. We've also had a really good experience with Biblical Community with older, with both older to us, but also younger to us and older to our children, brothers and sisters in Christ pouring into the kids and teaching them things. I mean, we have right now, we have an older gentleman that is likely going to be a neighbor who loves fishing. And that was not something that Isaac really grew up doing. Yeah. And so he has taken the teenagers as well as Isaac out fishing. And
that was
a blast.
On my preparedness list. We need to know how to actually catch fish, not just like have a fishing pole with a line in the river.
But how to catch them, how to clean them, all the things. And I knew how to clean them and cook them. But so anyway, it was just it's a good thing to have people who have different skills in your community and to invite them to share those skills. I mean, how encouraging is it for that friendship if you're like, hey, I recognize you're good at this. Will you come and teach me and my kids? Mm-hmm. So I just say that you could do that with canning, sewing, fishing, hunting. I mean, you name it. You can do that.
Yeah.
And so, and then of course there's virtual mentors through books as Amen. Well as online. And books, I just have to put a little plug in here for how to do it with books. Mm-hmm. You can never go wrong investing in a book.
What are the two things, Ange, we could always spend money on?
Books and food. Good yes. food, healthy food. That was what we said when we were, what Isaac told me when we were first married. And, you know, having a library, especially in these days where censorship is definitely happening, I think that there is a need for people to understand the importance of having hard copy, like a good family library of resources yeah. for kids and grandkids. I know that's something that has been on our heart, and we have hundreds of books that we've invested in over the last 22 years. So if you don't know how to do it, look it up in a book.
Yeah, just think, just realize. I'm going to move on real quick, but look up the WHO organization in COVID 2.0. I think you have to Google something like that. Anyways, they did an analysis of what the next COVID is going to be. It's going to be a digital COVID where they have to turn off the internet worldwide for a period of time. And
wouldn't it be nice to have books so that you know how to garden and
this
grow
isn't
food
fear-based. This is something they've run an analysis on. And prior to COVID, the same group of people with Bill Gates and so forth did analysis on what would happen if something like a pandemic happened.
And actually, it all happened. And Candace Owens, is she on the Daily
Candace
Wire?
Candace talks about it, yeah.
She also talked about this in regards to a digital vaccination too, where they're potentially removing certain people based upon what they're teaching and what their political views are or spiritual views are from the internet entirely. Again, this is something that they talked about recently.
Books are important.
Okay, so let's move on to the next thing, which is opportunities. Now, this is really like, this is the clincher that will get your kids addicted to learning. Yes, you heard me, addicted to learning. Most parents have a hard time with getting their kids to read. We have had a few voracious readers in our family, but I would say across the board, all of our kids love to learn new skills. Mm-hmm. And there is a proactive learning environment in our home where people, they get ideas and they go, I bet I could do that. Like, do your kids think that way? Are they addicted to opportunity? Are they looking around and going, oh, there's a problem. How can I solve it? Mm-hmm. And then trying to come up with a solution. And if they come to a roadblock, they come to mom and dad, they research it, they figure out a solution to the roadblock in what they're doing. So that, that you guys, this is amazing. It is unbelievably amazing. Our kids, like I even think about like Luke, we've mentioned him with the essential oil shelves, right? One of the opportunities for him was that he was able to try and sell some. Talk about being appreciated. When mm-hmm. someone is willing to pay for your product that you've created, don't you feel validated?
It's amazing.
If someone pays you for your service, don't you feel validated? You feel so encouraged and mm-hmm. you're like, you want to keep doing it. It makes you alive, right? And our kids can all experience that as well, doing all kinds of things, whether it's moving water lines for a neighbor or mowing a neighbor's lawn or taking out the garbage for an elderly lady in the neighborhood, walking dogs, babysitting. Those are all opportunities where your kids can work hard and be validated.
It's on purpose in our family. It's always been important to us that our kids learn how to make a profit, not just a wage. Wage is good too, honorable, amazing, but also a profit because you never know. They might need to be entrepreneurial. In fact, if you listen to our previous podcast, I think everybody needs to learn how to be entrepreneurial mm-hmm. these days.
Yeah, and it is a skill that can be learned. Now, some people are definitely going to be more wired to be better at it, that it's more like how they were created. But the reality is I would even say even if someone is wanting to do something that is a wage job, they should probably know how to and have multiple streams of income.
Yeah,
with something that is not dependent upon an employer.
So what are opportunities we can create when kids are really little?
So when they're really little, obviously gardening is one thing. Chickens. We have had chickens where the kids have had to take care of the chickens and then they get to sell the eggs and they get appreciated for their hard work. But guess what? There was a lot of learning that went into, okay, how do we need to build the coop? How do we learning about how to take care of chicks, learning about the different foods when they're molting, learning how to hatch eggs. Like there's just so many aspects to taking care of animals and farm life. That's one perfect example.
Another thing is don't just be the answer giver. You may know the answer. Just because you know the answer doesn't mean you give it. Some people feel really good when someone asks them a question, giving an answer.
Yeah.
And you might always do it because it's second nature to you. Don't always do it. Depending on the age, hold it back and go, that's such a good question. What do you think? Mm-hmm. I have an answer, but I want to hear what you think. And then a lot of times they're going to say something close to right or right. And you go, you're exactly right. What are you creating in them? You're creating a reliance on proactive learning, on figuring out the answer, about their brain asking them the question before they go ask somebody else. It's good that they struggle to find an answer before you give them an answer. Now, this isn't absolutely true in every circumstance. Sometimes a young kid, you just tell them the answer. And sometimes it can be annoying to a kid if you just never give them an answer. So you have to be discerning about this. But this is a coaching skill, okay, is you let them come up with it. And then you go, and if it's not true, you go, that's a good stab at it. It's a good try, but here's actually what it is. But good job trying to figure it out. You're creating proactive learners with that one little change. You're going to be amazed at the difference it makes.
It's true. So we actually have a scripture that we want to share with you guys.
Yeah, we are in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. We put this at the end because we don't want you to have anxiety. Because sometimes when we do these podcasts and they have a lot of points, you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot. And I have some things to figure out. And I wasn't writing notes when I listened to this because I was doing something or driving or whatever. And I just want you to know that even if you forget some of this stuff, or if you're concerned about some of the stuff and you're wondering how to do it, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make straight your paths. Ask the Lord to calm any anxiety you have about anything in your parenting.
You know, and a lot of parents too are in this position where they're contemplating and still considering if they're going to homeschool or not. And so, you know, obviously we want to equip, we want to encourage you guys, we want to exhort you in the word. And what the scriptures that Isaac just read, one of the points that it's a second part of the first verse that says, lean not on your own understanding. We're talking about cultivating a proactive learning environment in your home. Lean not on your own understanding should be the tagline for that, right?
Amen.
And so you guys, if you need more help or need more encouragement in regards to homeschooling, I just want to share with you that we have a course called the Homeschooling Blueprint Course. Yep. If you go to CourageousParenting.com and you click on the menu, there is a tab right there for the Homeschooling Blueprint. And it has 6 teaching videos in it where we talk about all different topics regarding different learning styles, how to actually identify what the learning style is in your child, what your learning style is, because that's going to give you insight into what your teaching style is going to be. We talk about the different ways that you can teach school. We talk about curriculums. We talk about leaving a legacy, vision for homeschooling. It's really ideal for anyone, regardless of if you've been homeschooling for 10 years or if you are just getting started.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope this was helpful to you.
See you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. For more resources, go to CourageousParenting and CourageousMom.com for free online workshops, blog posts, and best-selling courses. Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program. Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program where we cover everything from obedience training to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private online group, live webcasts, and the Courageous Parenting text message line where Angie and I can send you weekly encouragements straight to your phone.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at CourageousParenting.com. That's CourageousParenting.com.